You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
A Russian accountant is indicted for conspiring to influence U.S. midterm elections. Different nations have different styles of information operations because they have different goals. Technology shifts, but underlying principles of propaganda remain. The EU barks cyber deterrence, but doesn't bite yet. North Korea's petty cybercrime wave. A scammer is after altcoin enthusiasts. And there's neither confirmation nor retraction of Bloomberg's spy chip story. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Peter Kilpe, executive editor, sitting in for the vacationing Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, October 22, 2018. Late Friday, the U.S. Department of Justice announced the indictment of a Russian national on charges of attempting to interfere with the approaching midterm elections. Elena Alexeyevna Koshinova of St. Petersburg, Russia, was charged with conspiracy to influence U.S. elections. She is alleged to have been active in the 2016 election cycle as well, but her indictment marks the first charges brought in connection with the 2018 vote. Her role is an interesting one. She's an accountant, and she's charged with managing the finances for Project Lakhta, an influence campaign directed toward the now familiar goal of inflaming existing American political and cultural fissures. As has been the case with other Russians indicted in the U.S., Ms. Koshinova isn't in custody. If she ever faces trial, she could face 5 years imprisonment. The techniques Project Lakhta used are also interesting. There were, of course, the familiar trolls right off the St. Petersburg farm, but these inauthentic identities weren't the whole of the operation by a long shot. The trollmasters also saw it with some success to rope unwitting Americans into the op, often by forming and moderating groups on social media. U.S. authorities continue to express concern over influence operations not only by Russia, but by China and Iran as well. Many security firms say that they're not seeing much evidence of operations by China and Iran, but they acknowledge that they could be missing something. It's worth noting that the sorts of activities the three countries are known for differ in important ways. In the case of China, while much cyber espionage has been directed toward the theft of trade secrets, the influence operations reported have, for the most part, consisted of working to influence policy in certain specific directions. Thus, Beijing has, for example, funded various think tank programs as well as cultural centers at universities. Iran's influence operations have consistently sought to push specific narratives to gain favor and support specific foreign policy objectives. In this, they resemble those mounted by Saudi Arabia, We'll hear more about Saudi influence operations in a moment. Thus, both China and Iran have tended toward positive goals, that is, positive from their point of view. Russian information operations have, in contrast, been negative. Their goal has been opportunistic disruption. In the case of election influence attempts, Moscow doesn't particularly care who gets elected as long as Americans grow to hate and mistrust one another. As the Justice Department points out in its comments on the Kushinova indictment, quote, the conspirators' alleged activities do not exclusively adopt one ideological view. They wrote on topics from various, sometimes opposing, perspectives, unquote. This kind of influence operation is inherently opportunistic and inherently easier to pull off than campaigns that have specific, positive goals. What's seen as relatively new in these operations is the weaponization of advertising technology that's grown up with the internet. And indeed, the same rifle shot accuracy that can be used to send your ads about airfares and nutritional supplements can be readily adapted to manipulating opinions and beliefs in other areas. But it's worth recalling the underlying principles haven't changed that much. With apologies to Professor McLuhan, sometimes the message stays the same, whether it's delivered by graffiti, pamphlet, broadsheet, loudspeaker truck, radio, television, or tweet. As the Grug points out in his underground tradecraft blog, quote, people keep rediscovering the basic principles of propaganda that were documented a century ago. It's basically like every new technology demonstrates the old maxim, 6 months in the laboratory can save an afternoon in the library, unquote. Saudi influence operations in social media draw attention as the kingdom continues to vigorously and implausibly spin its role in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at Saudi Arabia's Istanbul consulate. Twitter has banned inauthentic accounts, pushing the kingdom's official line. The New York Times also reports that Saudi intelligence services attempted to infiltrate Twitter by compromising an employee back in 2015. The European Union concluded its meetings last week with gruff noises about cyber deterrence, but did not finally enact the sanctions against Russia, the UK, and Netherlands advocated. Kaspersky says it's detected dark pulsar malware infections in Russia, Iran, and Egypt. Dark Pulsar is one of the alleged NSA Equation Group hacking tools the shadow brokers dumped back in the spring of 2017.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, I was speaking to a security researcher recently who was talking about people's ability to hack into TVs. And one of the things he brought up was this notion of within your home network, basically segmenting it, having a separate Wi-Fi network for your IoT devices.
Right.
Versus, you know, your regular browser, your laptops, your phones, your regular web browsing. What's your take on that?
I think it's a great idea. I do see one issue with it, and it's not something that the only issue I see with it is it's not something every layman is going to have the ability to do. It's going to, you know, it might be out of reach of guys or girls like my parents, for example.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
They're probably not going to be able to do this. And my parents actually do have a smart TV in their house. Mm. And it would be nice to be able to segment it. So it would be simple enough to do. You could either have a piece of equipment that can handle the VLAN or perhaps have a guest network segmentation. Or you can actually buy two pieces of hardware, and have one piece of hardware handle the Internet of Things products in your house, like your TVs, your thermostat, or whatever, and have the other piece of hardware that you control handle your Wi-Fi network for your family's devices.
Yeah, this is something we did in our house for a while, just sort of to control access for the kids,
right,
to keep them from being on the network at all hours of the day and night. We had a separate network set up for them that had time restrictions on it, and then one for my wife and I that was unrestricted.
Right.
That was actually hidden. It didn't broadcast its name, so they didn't even know it was there. And
that's great.
Yeah, because
that's perfect.
Because if they knew it was there, sure, they would certainly crowdsource a solution to hack into it.
Right, absolutely. So I've been thinking about doing this as well, simply because my ISP is Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last time we were talking and you asked if I had any IoT devices in my house, and my immediate response was, oh, no, I don't have any of those. And then you asked, well, what about your cable boxes? And I went, oh, yeah, those are essentially just little Linux boxes that sit on my network.
They creep in.
Exactly. So, these things, you don't even think about what you have as an IoT device.
Have a television that... That can run Netflix, can run Spotify, and it can run apps. So and it's on the Wi-Fi network.
That's right. And my daughter has one of those as well that she uses as a streaming device and a computer monitor.
So again, you and I talk about over and over again, is attack surface.
Exactly.
And so if you can separate the attack surface of all these IoT devices.
Right. And now if somebody compromises one of your IoT devices, and these things never get updated.
Right.
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 Then that's the problem with them. So if somebody compromises my IoT device, it's isolated on a network, and the only thing it's going to have access to is other IoT devices, things right. that I might not consider to be critical. I'm certainly not going to store my data on that part of the network.
Right, right. All right. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What's Pyongyang's quiet crime wave? Gaming hacks, says Recorded Future. High-profile hacks have tended to serve as misdirection for the persistent low-level cybercrime North Korea uses to fill its sanctions and mismanagement-depleted treasury. Stealing and reselling in-game purchases would seem to be the very definition of petty crime, but it apparently pays Pyongyang to play. And, of course, ordinary criminals remain busy, too. Antivirus company Dr. Webb is tracking one hood who's actively pursuing people interested in cryptocurrencies. The scammer goes by the nom de hack InvestTimer, HipBlock, and MMPower. As Bleeping Computer notes, the crook works by setting up quite convincing websites that pose as legitimate exchanges. His bogus sites also run phony lotteries, rent coin mining tools that don't exist, or even in a twist on a mystery shopper scam, offers altcoins just for browsing the web. His goal is usually to find crypto wallets and relieve them of their contents. So if you must fiddle with altcoins, fiddle with care. Finally, we follow up on the controversial Bloomberg story on Chinese spy chips allegedly found in motherboards. The news is there is no news. Apple CEO Cook told Bloomberg at the end of last week that Bloomberg owed the world a retraction, but so far, Bloomberg hasn't offered one. No one else has been able to confirm the story. And so the grain of rice-sized malicious chips remain as ghostly and as elusive as ever. Consensus is rapidly moving toward the conclusion that there's nothing there at all.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.